Give our praise. Glory to God. While you're standing, if you want to go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the gospel according to St. Luke. Luke chapter 1. I trust that each one of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving this past Thursday and weekend. I know some are still celebrating Thanksgiving with their families. I'd already received word prior to our gathering this morning of different ones that's out of town or with family today or traveling or coming back from the holidays. But we had an enjoyable time with our family in Arkansas, and I know you did too with your family here. But it's great to be back with my church family. Amen. I'm glad to be with you today. Amen. And people that I love and God has called us to serve. And I love and appreciate each one of you so, so very much. Amen. I love you with the love of the Lord. And you're so precious to me and my family. And we appreciate you so, so very much. 4 o'clock today, I'm going to be meeting with the greeters. I'd like to include the ushers on that as well. If you can meet with me 4 o'clock today in the fellowship hall, just for a brief time together, I would appreciate it tremendously. And we appreciate the work you're doing for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, if you're there, say amen. Amen. The word of God declares this. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." The next verse tells us, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." But notice verse 30. "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid.'" Somebody say, "Do not be afraid." "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." You have found favor with God. And as I was preparing the message this morning, this week, the Lord began to deal with me on this story, which to me is relevant considering we're entering that Christmas season. But the Lord spoke something to me here through this encounter, the angel with Mary, about the favor of God and how that every child of God is covered with the divine favor of the Lord. Amen. And I want to minister for just a few moments from this passage on this thought. Do not fear, for you have favor. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Do not fear, you have favor." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For a few moments this morning, I want to minister to you on that word favor. That word favor that I believe is so vital for you and I to understand what it really symbolizes to everyone in this room today, every child of God. That word favor, it means divine approval or support. It is heaven's endorsement. It's something that's undeserved. And we use this term in everyday vernacular. I was talking to one of my preacher buddies the other day and I asked him the question. I said, can you do me a favor? And he said, "Well, it depends on what it is." And I said, "That's wisdom talking right there. Before you obligate yourself to something, find out exactly what it is, you know, somebody's wanting you to do." But we use that term very loosely, and we use it often, that word favor, and we say, "Can you do me a favor?" Or, "I would like to ask you a favor." That is, would you do something for me that I really don't deserve? It's favor. And while we are not favored in the same way Mary was in this particular passage, what I believe and what I want you to see this morning is that every child of God is favored by the Lord. That word favor is connected to the Greek word charis, which is often translated grace. And so that word grace and favor in some way can be used interchangeably there. You have found favor, the angel told Mary, or you have been found with grace from God, or grace with God. In other words, it is a gift that you did not earn. For example, when a person works an 8-hour shift and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that is wage. Wage is something that you earn, that you deserve. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that is a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for their service or their high achievements, that is a reward. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, when a person can win no prize and deserves no award, yet receives a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favor or God's unmerited grace, meaning we get what we did not earn and we receive what we do not deserve. Is anybody with me this morning? Because in the nutshell, this is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the good news today, that God is showering you with favor that you do not deserve. Oh, somebody help me this morning. None of us deserve heaven. None of us deserve to be forgiven. None of us deserves the blood that Jesus shed on the cross 2,000 years ago. But the favor of God and the grace of God says, I have a gift for you that I'm going to pour upon your life that you did not earn it, you can't afford it, and you really don't deserve it. But because of my grace, I'm going to clothe you with my favor and give something to you that you could not get on your own. Hallelujah. It is the favor of God and the grace of our Lord. And that is the essence of this message that we preach, that God is showering you and I with something we do not deserve. Is anybody thankful for the grace of God today? And it's because of his grace you're sitting here in the house of God hearing this message this morning. If it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, you could be in parchment or you would be 6 foot under, but because of his unmerited favor, and because he loved you when you did not deserve to be loved, and because he forgave you when you did not deserve to be forgiven, you're sitting here with praise in your lips and praise in your heart, saying, thank you, Lord, that you have clothed me with something I did not earn, but because of your love, you have freely bestowed upon me your grace and your favor. And because of that, I say thank you, Lord, for your grace today. Somebody give him glory in the house of the Lord. None of us deserve to be here today, amen? But because of his grace, because of his divine favor upon our lives, our name has been recorded in heaven. Now, as we look a little more closely at this encounter here with the angel and Mary, the angel came to her announcing that she was chosen by God to be the one who would carry the Son of God 9 months in her womb and give birth to the Son of the living God. Why did God choose this young lady? Why was she chosen? Why did God bestow his divine favor upon the virgin named Mary? May I tell you this morning that the odds were against her to be used by God from an onlooker's perspective, and from looking from the outside in, you would say that Mary was probably the least likely candidate that God could use, because she was young, she was poor, she was a female, in which in her day, all those were characteristics that would make her an unlikely candidate to be used of God. But yet God chose her, and God selected her for the greatest privilege of all, and that was to carry for 9 months and give birth to the Son of God. There's something that I've discovered throughout the pages of God's Word. When God chooses somebody, and when God uses somebody, and when God favors somebody or anoints somebody, it's usually those that people would think would never amount to anything. God has a way of taking weak things and confounding the mighty. God has a way of taking foolish things and confounding the wise. We often feel even ourselves unqualified to be used of the Lord. Say, God, who am I? Lord, use somebody else that has more ability. God, use somebody else that has more talent. Use somebody else that has more time. But what I've come to realize is this: God is not looking for somebody with more ability. He's just looking for somebody with more availability. Somebody that will say, Lord, here am I, use me. God is just looking for those who will avail themselves of his divine call and say, God, I'll give you the vessel if you'll fill it with your power. God, here I am, and you can use me for your glory. I was only a 15-year-old kid when God called me to preach this gospel, and I said, God, I can't do it. I stutter. I'm backwards. I'm a nobody. But God said, if you'll just surrender my call, I will clothe you with my favor and my anointing, and you will do what I've called you to do, and I will put my words in your mouth. May I tell you this morning that every person in this room is a candidate to be used of God. Don't allow the devil to discourage you. Don't allow the wet blankets to put the fire out. Don't allow anybody to tell you that God cannot use you for his good and for his glory. If you will make yourself available to the work of God and the will of God and say, God, here I am, God will raise you up and anoint you to do the work he has called you to do. When God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm just a child. But the Lord said, don't tell me you're just a child. You're going to go to whoever I send you, and you will speak what I give you. I will put my words in your mouth, and I will hasten my word to perform it. God told little Jeremiah, he said, son, before you were even formed in the belly, I knew who you were, and I sanctified you while you were still in your mother's womb. May I tell you today that God likes to use those who feel they have no worth and nothing they can give to God, that feels like they're useless, that feels like God could never use me. God likes to use things also the world has rejected, and God will raise those people up and sanctify them. I read where God took a plowboy by the name of Elisha and made him a prophet. God took a captive named Daniel and made him a prayer warrior. God took a shepherd boy by the name of David and made him a king. God took an adulterer named Mary Magdalene and made her a faithful witness. God took a fisherman named Peter and made him a fisher of men. God took a murderer named Saul and made him a preacher to the Gentiles, who would later go on to write nearly 2/3 of the New Testament. I want you to understand this morning that God knows how to use weak vessels and frail vessels and failures. And God built his church out of a bunch of men who were castaways and rejects, but yet God raised them up and the women up in that day and made him a mighty army that the gates of hell could not prevail against. I want you to understand this morning that the proud God will humble, but the humble God will exalt to honor and place his anointing upon their lives to be used of him in a mighty way. Glory to God. Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, when God chose him, God wanted to clothe Gideon with his favor, his anointing. And Gideon said, Lord, I'm from a poor family. Lord, I'm leasing my father's house. In other words, Lord, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. You can use me, he told God. But God told him, surely I will be with you, and you will smite the Midianites as one man. Peace be with you. Do not fear. You will not die.
What is God telling us in His Word? Whoever God chooses to favor, He will. He doesn't need my permission, doesn't need your permission, doesn't need the religious leader's permission, but God anoints who He will and empowers who He chooses to do the work He has called them to do. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called and anoints them and gives them His favor to do His work. Somebody say amen. Being favored by God will may also make you despised by this world. Many who found favor with God often faced persecution. Mary, she was found with favor with God, but it did not make her popular among her peers. On the contrary, it led to much ridicule and pain for her. Her fiancé even came close to leaving her. Because imagine having to tell your fiancé, I'm pregnant, but I'm still a virgin. It'd be hard pill to swallow. And Joseph was minded to put her away, but thanks be unto God, he took time to meditate on it and pray of it for a little while. And then God revealed to him that what she was saying was true. But I'm sure Mary faced much ridicule when she began to show, especially. And when she claimed that she was a virgin and was carrying the Son of God. I want to tell you something. The devil, he will see to it that your favor will come with a price. Did you hear what I said? The devil will see to it that your favor will come with a price. He despises those who have favor with God. And you're a threat to him. You're a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And he'll do everything he can to discourage you, to try to make you quit and make you just throw up your hands and say, I can't do this. That's the way the enemy works. And he'll raise up people to verbally attack you, maybe mentally or even possibly physically, to do whatever he can because you are a threat to him and he despises those who are favored of the Lord. But let me tell you what that favor can do. The scripture reveals to you and I, when you have the favor of God, that favor, that God can cause that favor on you to rub off on those around you, and God can give you favor with those that you would least expect. Samuel is an example of that. In 1 Samuel 2 and 26, it says he grew old and was in favor with the Lord and with man. Now notice the sequence. First of all, he had favor with the Lord, and secondly, he had favor with man. Proverbs 3 verses 3 and 4 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so you will find favor in the sight of God and man. Luke 2 and 52, the Bible speaking of Jesus, it says that the Lord increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Notice Jesus first had favor with God, and then God gave him favor with man. Now here's what I've been praying as your pastor, that God would give us favor first of all with him. That is the prerequisite. We must have the favor of God. If we don't have heaven's endorsement, if we don't have God's approval, if we don't have the favor of God, then everything we do is going to be in vain. We're ineffective. We're just going through the motions. We must have the favor of God. And I pray for that every day. I pray that over this church. I pray that over my family. I pray that over your life and your ministry, that you will have the favor of God, and then as God gives you and I favor, that he will also give us favor with those around us. That God will give us favor in this community. That God will give us favor when we do ministry outside these doors. That God will give us favor with this city and with all those we come in contact with. That God will allow the favor of God to rub off on those around us, and that we will also find ourselves receiving favor not just with God, but favor with man. The New Testament church, the Bible says in Acts 2:47, that they were praising God and having favor with God, and God added to the church such as should be saved. Hear that again. They praised God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What happened? God gave them favor, and as a result, they began to win the lost and see many come into the kingdom. I believe today that we need to pray every day that God will give the Grenada Church of God favor to help us win the lost and make disciples in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's doing that. You realize that through the outreach, it's just amazing when I sit down and just think about the impact God is allowing our local church to have just on the outreach ministries we have outside this church. You know, my prayer as a pastor, I want to see our church filled to capacity and us see people saved every day and see us outgrow this facility. And we've seen a lot of people come in, and we've seen a lot of people added to the church, and I thank God for that. But you realize we're having a greater impact. I've seen more people come to Jesus and through the outreach ministry of this church this year outside these doors than I probably ever have in my entire ministry. I'm seeing God doing. You know why? Because God has given us favor outside this church. He's given us favor at the soup kitchen. He's given us favor in parchment. He's given us favor on the mission field. He's given you and I favor when we go into Walmart. He's given us favor when you go to your job. Young person, he's given you favor when you go to school. I want you to understand the favor of God is just not limited to one locality, but wherever we go, God will give us favor with man and help us to win people to Jesus and reach the lost at any cost. Somebody give God praise. If you're thankful for the favor of God that adds to the church. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he even causes his enemies to be at peace with him. You know what? There's people in your circle or on your job that will try their best not to like you. But regardless of what they do, there's just something about you, the madder they get, the more they really fall in love with. You know what it is? It's called the favor of God. And when you have that favor of God, the Bible says he will cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. One day of favor can do more for you than what 1,000 days of labor can. I'm not talking about luck. I'm talking about the favor of God, sovereign set of divine appointment. And when we have heaven's approval and heaven's endorsement and the favor of God is upon us, there's nothing we cannot do and accomplish for the kingdom's sake. Here's what I want you to see as I try to wind this thing down. The favor of God, notice in particular here, according to what the angel announced to Mary, that favor will drive away fear. The angel announced to Mary, Mary, do not be afraid. Fear not. Because you have been found with favor with God. That angel's announcer reveals to us, if we have the favor of God, somebody help me. If you didn't get anything, I want you to get this, okay? This is going to help somebody in this room. If you have the favor of God, then there's no reason you have to fear. Fear not. You have favor. In other words, you know, that one thing the devil is doing and one thing that I see happening that he's really working overtime on is is creating and causing fear and panic in the hearts and the lives of the people of God. It's got to where we're afraid to even walk out the door. We're afraid to come into the house of God anymore because somebody may just come in crazy and start shooting up the place. And let me just say this, maybe as a word of consolation. And we're trusting in God for his protection. I'm telling you, the angels of God are surrounding us. And I prayed this morning the angels of God would cover this campus and cover this sanctuary and cover our kids' church. But this is not a gun-free zone. If somebody comes walking in here, we've got some individuals that are certified, men that are enhanced carriers, that are trainers, amen. And if that comes to that, but let me tell you something. We have the favor of God on this place, and the favor of God's here, and the devil's going to have to do really hard and work really hard to come against you and I and to inflict harm on us. You know why? Because I speak the word of God over this place and over your life and over your family. The word of God tells us that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against. I'm going to tell you something. You are protected by the unseen hand of God, and the favor of God is upon this church, and the favor of God is upon my life, and the favor of God is upon you this day. And I want to tell you something, don't be afraid. The favor of God covers you and it will protect you. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 5 and verse 12, for surely, O Lord, you will bless the righteous. You will surround them with favor as with a shield. And we have this covering over you and I. It's called the favor of God. And how many believe that favor the devil cannot penetrate? We have this shield called the favor of God. It's our covering. It's our protection. Chris and I was going in one of the units the other night, and I just kind of walked in like I normally do, and he said, man, you just kind of walk in almost like, you know, like it, almost like you own the place. I said, well, maybe I've got more courage than I've got sense. But all I know is that, you know, God's called us to do this. And if his favor is on us, you know what, if we've got God on our side, why? Why should we fear? Why should we worry? Why should we allow the devil to invoke fear in us? If God be for us, what does the Bible say? If God be for us, then who can be against us? We're still on the winning side. I want you to know you and God make a majority. And if God is with you, his favor will surround you like a shield. Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the Assyrians. And Elisha's servant said, what are we going to do? Elisha said, don't worry, son. Those that be with us are more than they that be with them. He said, Lord, he said, prophet, I don't understand what you're saying. What do you mean? There's just two of us here. And the prophet prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And God opened the eyes of this prophet, and he saw that the hills were surrounded with chariots of fire all around Elisha and all around the prophet and the servant. It was then he understood what the prophet meant when he said that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Aren't you glad today that the whole heavenly host of God's army is on our side, and we are surrounded, we are covered by his sheep, by the shield of his favor, and he will protect and God will keep his own. The Bible says, hallelujah, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Does anybody still believe this book to be true, that the angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him, and we are covered and protected and sustained by the divine favor of the Lord? Ashley, would you please come and help me this morning? What the angel declared to her, lets me know if you have the favor of God, there's nothing to fear. And we know what fear does. It'll seek to bind you, paralyze you. Fear is a spirit. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 1 and 7, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Identify spirit as a spirit, but a power and of love and a sound mind. It's a spirit that's not given to you by God. It's given to you by the devil. And you need to resist that spirit. Amen. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. It's sad to see how fear is paralyzing our churches and our nation. That word terrorism has become a commonplace word among us today. And that's all we read on the newspaper, read on the internet, or hear on newscasts is fear and terror. But God does not want us living the last days upon this earth in fear, but rather in faith and in confidence that we are covered by the shield of His favor. And because we have favor, there is no reason to fear. You see, the angel told Mary, do not fear because you have favor. In verse 29, he says, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord. In verse 28, the Lord is with you. Favor also means, you know what? Not only don't I have to fear, it means the Lord is with us. Anyone believe that we're not alone in this building today? The Lord is here. The Lord is with you. Notice the connection between His favor and His presence. His favor is upon you. The Lord is with you. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Remember as a child, when I would be awakened by thunder, lightning. I remember at times it would thunder so loud, just rattle that trailer that we lived in. And as a little kid, I'd jump out of the bed. I'd be scared of the storm, and I'd run down the hallway through the living room, the kitchen, to my mom and dad's bedroom, and without them even knowing, I would slip in between them while they were still asleep. They'd wake up the next morning and see that I was in the bed with them. You know what? When I did that as a child, it didn't stop the rain. It didn't make the lightning stop flashing or the thunder from roaring. But what it did, I remember as a child, it helped to alleviate my fear. Not that it wasn't storming, not that the weather wasn't still bad, but because I was no longer alone, I had mom and dad right beside me. And because of that, I would fall back asleep with a feeling of protection and security because I was next to mom and dad. And I thought, you know, they could do anything. And I still do. But now, you know, I think, storms of life you and I face, it's similar to the same comfort I now experience as a 42-year-old man as relates to my Heavenly Father. When fear tries to shake me, when the devil tries to rattle me, God reminds me that I'm not alone. His word assures me that He is my protection and that His presence is with me. And I don't have to fear any longer because my Heavenly Father walks with me and carries me every step of this journey. I've been meditating a lot here lately and speaking and praying to Psalm 91. God's prayer given to you and I, the prayer God gives us of His protection and safety. And we need to remind ourselves today that we're covered by His favor. We don't have to fear. His presence is with us. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall trust. You will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. But notice this, the word of God says 1,000 will fall at your your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. But because you have made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. And I speak that over you in the name of the Lord, and I pray that over this church. I pray that over your family today. I've come with a word from the Lord this morning. You are protected. You are kept by his grace and by his favor, and there is a shield over you today, and God is with you. Therefore, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, says the Lord. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Hallelujah. I feel him in this place this morning. I want you to stand with me, please. Have me say, Pastor, I need that favor upon my life. Is something causing you to be afraid this morning? Is something trying to paralyze you, to hold you back? Is the enemy trying to hinder you or stop you? If you'd say, Pastor, I just want the favor of God to cover me and to keep me. You say, Pastor, I just want to make that my prayer. I need the favor of God on my life, on my home, on my finances, on my children, on my family. As Ashley plays, I want you to step out and come and just stand right here in the front of this sanctuary. Lord has spoke to me today to pray and ask the favor of God to surround you like a shield. And I want to do that today before we leave. Who desires the favor of God upon your life? I want you to come. Move quickly in the name of Jesus. Move quickly. Come on. I got to obey the Lord. I got to obey the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Precious Redeemer. Precious Savior. Mighty, mighty God.